Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. For a show and tell this morning, I have this mask that you have seen me wear as I'm coming up to the microphone and as I step away from the camera, rather. And I am still only taking this off while I am speaking during worship. We know that on Thursday, the CDC removed the recommendation for fully immunized people to wear masks, even indoors. That is, the guidelines from the CDC really catching up with the science, because we know that masks work, and we know that vaccinations work as well. And if you have not gotten your vaccinations yet, you really should. So that's great news that vaccinations work, and I too will be fully protected after that 2-week clock runs out on this coming Wednesday. And it's also complicated news. It's complicated news because Covenant's policies, among others, are based on the reality that only 40% of our neighbors here in Iowa are fully vaccinated so far. Unvaccinated folks, you know that your risk factors have not changed. And we know that that's the case not only for some who have decided they don't want to be vaccinated, but some who have not yet been able to be vaccinated, some who are still not eligible for vaccines. So fully vaccinated folks, we have not yet set different policies for fully vaccinated people versus non-vaccinated people. And I understand the frustration navigating a setting where we have not even fully invited you back into in-person participation in the congregation right now, because we are still discerning. We are still discerning how to ensure safety, discerning which risks are appropriate and are not appropriate, and ultimately what we are discerning as we think about these masks. What we're discerning is how to be welcoming, and in what ways to be welcoming, and for whom to be welcoming. Whom do we invite in, and whom do we say, I'm sorry, because of the risk factors that you bring, you can't be part of in-person participation right now. And so we are continuing cautiously to make those decisions and examine those policies. Session will be meeting again on Tuesday to talk about those policies. And I can tell you that nobody on session signed up for that. Nobody on session signed up to lead a congregation through a pandemic, unlike those elders that we will elect next week who know exactly what they're getting into. But we didn't plan on this. We didn't expect to be in this situation, and yet the Holy Spirit knows what she's doing and knows who needs to be in these roles at any given time. And so I'm grateful for our elders and for their careful and wise discernment as we have navigated our way through this time. Will you join me for a prayer for illumination? Lord, dwell with us. Open the scriptures to us to make us wise. Tell us the good news of resurrection and set our hearts on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. And just as a heads up, there is a tiny little bit of gratuitous gore in this scripture reading. And I'm going to include it because it raises some questions for us about forgiveness and reconciliation. And those questions are beyond today's sermon specifically, but I think it is worth having those questions triggered in us. From Acts chapter 1. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Hakeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms," Peter continues, "let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fifty years ago this week, in Rochester, New York, a ruling elder from Waukesha, Wisconsin, was elected moderator of the General Assembly of the United Presbyterian Church in the USA. That's her right over there. Her name was Lois Stair, and she was the first woman elected moderator of a United States Presbyterian denomination. And as she was elected and answered that call, she said, "Well, here I am, filled with amazement and gratitude and standing in need of prayer." For the rest of that year, that annual moderator term, every public move that Lois made would be scrutinized, applauded, and criticized. Women in leadership know that extra scrutiny very well. The press talked about not just her role as moderator, but her roles as wife and mother in a way that, of course, they don't talk about men in those roles as husbands and fathers. The moderator of the denomination travels extensively across the country, and, of course, unlike her male predecessors, Lois faced questions about how she would maintain her appearance and her weight while traveling so much. But she also faced tumultuous issues across the denomination, especially shifts toward women's liberation and some controversial actions taken at that General Assembly around racial justice. Lois Stair certainly did not intend to lead in such complicated times, but the Holy Spirit knows what it's doing. You may not know Lois Stair's name, but she changed the direction of leadership in the Presbyterian Church from that time on. Today's scripture reading is about someone else you probably don't know either, Matthias, who was named as an apostle. We are in this 10-day gap after Jesus has ascended into heaven and before the Holy Spirit has descended from heaven onto the church. And the disciples are gathered and they're praying together. They're waiting for whatever it is power from on high is supposed to mean. That's what Jesus told them to expect. And this gathering, Luke tells us it's about 120 people, included some women. We know that, not that Peter counted them as eligible for leadership, when it occurred to him that we are down to only 11 out of 12 apostles. Now, after Pentecost, we're going to read some stories of women in the book of Acts, and we will see that whatever Peter thought, women are and always have been leaders in their own right within the church. But here are the disciples waiting for the Holy Spirit, who is likely already acting in the church during this time, including by calling Matthias into service, into filling this leadership role in such surprising times. So just like the election meeting that we will have next week, the congregation chooses Matthias with prayer, and in this case, a coin toss. Now, that was a common practice at the time, actually, as a way of discerning what God's will was, and honestly, drawing lots is at least as reliable as some congregational votes I've seen. And really, isn't all leadership kind of a roll of the dice? So, this is a choice that acts out the reality that we are not ultimately in control of what happens, whether in the church or in the world around us. Instead, we are depending on God to work through our actions, following our actions, and even before our actions. So Matthias is called and ordained as an apostle, and he doesn't become this flashy, prominent leader in the early church, but evidently he served faithfully in discernment. The traditional stories trace him to the shore of the Caspian Sea, sharing the gospel with new people. He was doing important work, even though it was not widely recorded. There were countless leaders in the early church just like that. Countless leaders who were living and enacting faithfulness without fanfare. There are countless leaders in the contemporary church doing the same thing, for which we can be thankful. The Holy Spirit didn't start working in Lois's life 50 years ago this week either. The Holy Spirit had been preparing her for this role that she would eventually come to fill. Lois Stair was born 7 years before the PCUSA began ordaining women as elders. She was ordained a ruling elder in 1957, 14 years before she would take this role. She served as a General Assembly Commissioner, moderator of Milwaukee Presbytery, moderator of the Synod of Wisconsin. And so when she was elected General Assembly Moderator, she was as ready as anyone could be for that role. And the Holy Spirit continued to work through her service, continued to work through her humble and transparent attitude about her own view of controversial questions. The Holy Spirit worked through her clear and faithful approach to conflict. By the end of her term, she was able to name both change and conflict as signs of hope for the church. She said, "If we are to be peacemakers, as Christ calls us to do, we must see hope in facing conflict, in letting our differences show, in being honest about hurts that haunt us in the world, about prisons that are inhumane, about racism that is ruling our world." Lois Stair was not only the first woman General Assembly moderator, she was also a model of courage and confidence during challenging times. As we await the coming of the Holy Spirit, I give thanks for the Holy Spirit that was at work in her life, that has been at work in all the lives of Christ's servants, and that continues at work in our life together today. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission today celebrates Presbyterian Heritage Sunday. Every year in May, Presbyterians are invited to celebrate Heritage Sunday. We are celebrating just 1 week early today. This is a day to reflect on and learn more about the long and rich history of the Presbyterian Church here in America. The story of Lois Stair that I shared in the sermon this morning was brought to you by the Presbyterian Historical Society. The Presbyterian Historical Society was organized in 1852. It is the oldest denominational archives in the United States. and it serves as the National Archives for the Presbyterian Church USA and our predecessor denominations. They maintain records of congregations, presbyteries, synods, and general assembly agencies. They also serve as the archives for some ecumenical organizations, including the Federal and National Council of Churches, the American Sunday School Union, and the Religious News Service. We are grateful for the work and ministry of the Presbyterian Historical Society.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.